Let's start this week with the healthcare professionals in El Paso who would really like to pass a message on to El Pasoans. Tell us what they have to say.
Yeah, Renee Klagic, who's our reporter who's been focusing on the healthcare system in El Paso, spoke with a number of nurses and other frontline healthcare workers about what they're seeing. And the message they have is a pretty simple one, that they just really want El Pasoans to stay home to slow the spread of what we're seeing with COVID-19 right now. And she talked to one nurse who, you know, had this grueling shift she had just come off of. She drives home and she just sees full parking lots of shopping centers with people out and about as if nothing was different in the world. And the nurse says, does everyone need to see the gruesomeness that I saw today to comprehend it? Now, when you talk with healthcare professionals, that message comes out very, very clearly. You know, for more than a week, we've had more than 1,000 people hospitalized with COVID-19 in El Paso. That's more than most states have. We're starting to see the death toll start to mount. My best estimate on Wednesday, which is the most recent day we have available, we lost 32 people on Wednesday. One of the things that's becoming really clear is that we will continue to lose 20 to 30 people every day through Thanksgiving, maybe through early December, maybe through Christmas if we don't start bringing this down. El Paso's situation is so dire right now. And as much as people have seen and heard about this on the news, I still don't think folks fully comprehend how bad this is right now.
Fort Bliss National Cemetery has suspended their military funerals, right?
Yeah, this one really hit me hard. My dad was in the Air Force career, Air Force NCO. My brother-in-law, all veterans, and on Veterans Day, we learned that Fort Bliss National Cemetery can't provide military honors or committal services because it's too dangerous right now. And so we have veterans dying. Some of them are dying of COVID-19. Some of them are dying of other causes. But because of the healthcare situation in El Paso, because of the COVID-19 crisis, we can't give them that final thank you that they've earned with, you know, the folding of a flag and then the playing of taps. It's just so heartbreaking to see how this virus is disrupting every facet of our life.
Now to the election and President Trump's performance in El Paso.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of attention paid, and rightfully so, to President Trump's performance in the Rio Grande Valley down in South Texas on the other side of the state from us. And he did much better there than he did in 2016, and frankly, than Republicans have done, and maybe forever. He ran really strong in the Rio Grande Valley. So you've seen a lot of chatter about his performance on the border. But when you look more closely at some of the border results, you're reminded of something that we need to keep repeating over and over again. Latino voters are not monolithic. They don't all vote the same way. So we sort of found this dividing line, which is right at about the Big Bend area of Texas. And everything east of the Big Bend, Trump did much, much better than he did in 2016. But everything west of the Big Bend all the way to California, Trump didn't show a whole lot of improvement. In El Paso County, he did improve slightly. He went from 26% of the vote 4 years ago to 32% this year. But when I looked at the history of voting in El Paso, those were the two worst performances by a Republican presidential nominee since 1948. And then when you look at Doñana County in New Mexico is actually slightly more favorable to Joe Biden than they were to Hillary Clinton. And so there are places in New Mexico and Arizona in particular along the border where Biden either did about as well as Hillary Clinton did or maybe even a little bit better. So I think this is a wake-up call for both parties to pay more attention to Latino voters, especially on the border, and speak directly to them about important issues. I think Democrats obviously have taken the Latino vote for granted for far too long. Republicans have not invested much effort in growing that, although Trump did to some degree earlier this year. So I think anything that improves the focus of the political world on our neck of the woods is going to be beneficial, whether it's coming from Republicans or Democrats.
All right, Bob, thank you very much for the update. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much.